time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Oh, we're on. Well, good morning, everyone. It's another day. It's the day after Thanksgiving, and all through the house, there's probably more than one person said, I wish I wouldn't have eaten so much. Jeff Ruth is here. Jeff will be with us all morning.
Till 11.
Till 11? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Get you on the right microphone.
I think 8 till 11 is enough.
Yeah. Oh. And let me see here. I get all my... This control board, of course, is nothing compared to what we used to use. Well, you use it mostly. I came in at the very beginning of the internet era, or when you could just push a button and bring up a commercial.
Mm. Remember, we had carts.
They oh, carts. Like
eight tracks. And you always had to, well, you were supposed to. You didn't have to, but you were supposed to pull the carts
for
the next person for an hour. And one of your favorite people, I remember, didn't do that. It's like, Dad,
yeah, I know.
He can do it. He can get his own carts.
Oh, my. Yeah. Still up in Maine.
Still up in Maine. You're right.
My time goes back to more in engineering, really. I started 52 to 68 as an engineer, and so I had to go out every Christmas and tape record all the schools.
Oh, that had to have been
I
remember Joe Peters going out, I think he did some like the school,
yeah.
And I mean, you know, people had he'd be climbing these 50-foot ladders to hang, you know, cords and microphones, and that was...
Well, you know, I used to climb the rafters in the Coliseum, 45 feet above the floor, and it was a narrow, you know, 3-inch thing I had to walk on and hold on with the cross pieces with my one hand while I was dropping my microphone cords for Harding High School graduation.
Wow.
And I don't think that was an era when there wasn't so much concern about safety. Now, the way I would get up there, you know, I'd go in the press box and start my climb out of the press box onto those rafters. That was long before they covered the ceiling.
Mm.
And all dirt. Oh, my goodness. Little did those people realize that the Harding graduation of Dole Evers was up there hanging cords for that. Oh, my. And, yeah, I have so many experiences as an engineer, and I had to go out, like I say, and tape record all these schools. And Joe used to put everything together until he got to a point. He said, okay, Evers, it's your turn now. I need 2 12-hour reels, or, you know, reels to fill 12 hours. And so I had to edit all these schools, make them fit the time period. Oh, my goodness. But one thing I remember mostly was St. Mary's, and I can't remember what year it was. It was before 68, naturally. The choir sang Away in the Manger, and that was the only thing in the church at the time, and it just kind of echoed, and I can still hear that St. Mary's choir singing Away in a Manger. gives you chills almost. And that was my best memory of Christmas.
Mm.
But and then I used to broadcast the Midnight Mass. I had to string all the cords for it. Jeff, all over the church, microphones, everywhere you looked. Until Joe Peters got the idea that, why don't we permanently wire in since we do the Midnight Mass every year? And so we strung cables and staped them to anything wood. And so the next year when I engineered the broadcast, all I had to do was plug the microphones in the cord, and we were all in business. And I can remember Carmen R. Curry was my commentator, and he told what was going on at the Midnight Mass. Carmen R. Curry called me up here. I forget whether it was in this building or not. He had gone through the whole priesthood and had already retired. And here I am, still going. I'll never forget that. Carmen R. Curry. I think he passed away now.
Mm.
But, yeah. So I had a lot of experience as an engineer, and probably enough of them as an announcer, too. Well, let's see. I started there in 68 on the air. What year did you go on the air?
79.
Oh, 79. Okay. And then in 1980, I went with WDIF and was there for 10 years and never was associated at all with MRN. In fact, they pretty much edged me out of the peanut push.
Yeah. And for a long time, we didn't have a peanut push.
That's right.
For 10 years,
I was at DIF.
Once you went away,
yeah.
And I'd only been there, as I said, I started in 79, you left in 80. I didn't really know what the peanut push was.
Yeah.
And then when you came back, and I don't remember, I don't know that there was a clamoring to bring the peanut push back. I can't really recall.
No, either, but...
But then when you came back and brought it back, and then when you left the second time, then that's kind of when I started the peanut push.
Right, and they just, I came there to help one day, and they ignored me. And I thought, well, this is it. They don't want me around.
You, because I told the story of the last couple of years now, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, but I used to always stay around till 9 o'clock. And you talked about back, you know, when Tecumseh and,
at
8:45 on Thursday night, people throwing $100 bills down on the tables to get their king or queen involved.
Yeah. You know, I was going to bring my album. I've got an album full of, like, hundreds of pictures of the peanut push. And how Channel 4, I think it was, came one year. And you can see their tall, whatever they stood in to take pictures. And that's the only time a TV station has ever showed up.
We've tried for years, Jody Reif in particular, and when Janet Thede was involved. And their explanation, well, with it being on a weekend, they don't have as many, you know, reporters so forth. But, and then Jody said that they've told her, you know, several times, you know, if we don't have anything else going on, you know, we'll come up, kind of thing. But there's always a fire or something. But I think something
would be
a great story for one of the Columbus stations to
absolutely.
Air.
Absolutely. I got to thinking, too, at one time, wouldn't it be neat to invite the people from other towns to join in? Of course, that might have got into too much to handle. But it wouldn't competition between Bucyrus and Marion and Galleon and all, that would have been really a lot of fun. It reminds me, during the fairs, we used to have a program called Two Town Tourney. And Bob Mason, the owner of the radio station, would MC that, and it involved like the mayor from other towns. And they had it was a quiz program at the fair, but that's long gone.
Mm.
Oh, there's been we used to have giveaway groceries at the fair, big sacks of groceries for people answering questions, and then we sponsored. The cooking show was a gas company sponsor at Harding High School, and it was wall-to-wall people, and they won groceries, too. But I've got pictures of all that.
I remember the first couple of years when I started there, we would have a Christmas party.
Oh, yeah.
And you would get bags of groceries.
You get a whole meal.
With, you know, a ham or turkey and everything to go with it.
I got pictures of all that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, in fact, everybody in this one picture I've got is dead except two of us. Isn't this a, imagine Bob Mason and, it goes on and on. Mm-hmm. Betty Miglor, I don't know if you knew Betty.
No.
She worked in one of the offices there, Betty Miglor. And then she went to work for, I think, St. Mary's Church in their, bookkeeping or whatever. And she's still around. I haven't seen her in years and years, but yeah, it's a lot of water has gone over.
Sure has.
Gee. But you know, this all got started with Gil Gomez and I, and I pushed Gil Gomez, you know, across Marion in a wheelbarrow.
Right.
And that's the first year of the PETA push, because we would stop and Gil got out of the wheelbarrow and everybody else was following us. And we had the peanut push. And then it kept growing and growing. Every year I pushed Gil Gomez and something else.
And you had a big parade.
Oh, yeah.
That would form out at the radio station.
Just on word of mouth.
Yeah.
I would say, if anybody would like to be in a parade, join us here along the road by the radio. And they would line up, Jeff, all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more fun to let everybody have a hand in a Christmas parade. But I remember, even the Harding Pep Band was in it one time in a cattle truck. And we were walking toward downtown, and a man came up and apparently when it's cold enough, you have to put antifreeze in those horns to keep the valves open or something. I don't know. But the Harding High School Pep Band threw their empty can down, and some guy grabbed it and started going into bars collecting money. and a cop told me, he said, "Evers, watch this guy. He's up to no good." And so I did. And sure enough, the police followed him in.
Collecting money for the peanut push.
No, for booze.
But that's what I mean.
Yeah,
but
right.
He was telling people it was for the peanut push.
Yes, right. I can't remember his name, but I'm sure he's long gone. Oh, that was... Yeah, but we would stop the parade then and have the peanut push and then march on to Kennedy Ford. Now, the way that all got started, too, Ken Charles, do you remember? He was probably gone.
Ken had left before I got there.
And Ken put a note up on the bulletin board, one of those famous pink notes, and said, if anybody has an idea on how to raise more money for the Christmas clearinghouse, please let me know. Well, at that time, the PETA push got its start, and I said, well, that's the extra push. And so after that, the PETA push, the parade would take up again and march to Kennedy Ford, where they would have a cake auction. I remember Louis Wickersham would auction off all these beautiful decorated cakes that people contributed. Yeah, that...
Was it always the first Saturday in December?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, it was the second, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. And Kennedy Ford had their own band. I can remember Thurman Matthews. I think he was in their orchestra. And, yeah. It was something. And, boy, a lot of history.
Mm-hmm.
But it all got started, Jeff. A lady sent me a postcard that said she would challenge Steve Lemke and myself to push a peanut with her nose between the Marion County Bank and the courthouse. And, it gave me an idea. That was really the initiation, that lady that sent the postcard, to get two of us to push a peanut across the street, a busy street. And then, Jeff, when I was still an engineer, Joe Peters used to have me go into the top of the courthouse and put up speakers for Christmas music. And then down in the second floor office, the ladies down there would play 45 RPM records all day long over the loudspeaker system, Christmas music. Yeah. Boy, was it dirty up there in the courthouse. Pigeon manure everywhere.
I can imagine, yeah.
All over the clock mechanism and everything. And memories, my land. And then a couple of times I climbed a tower to work on bolts and up 300 feet in the air. I never would went the rest of the 67 feet, but I did the 300.
Boy. There's not enough money in the world you could pay me to do some of this stuff that like that.
It was fun, but yet I was thinking of going back up the third time, and I thought, this ladder inside the tower is welded on, and what if one of those welds broke loose? I would go to the bottom real quick. And so that, I never went, my brain said, don't do it. Don't go back up again. I could see the top of a couple of buildings in Delaware from on top there. It's amazing how far you can see. But, oh my, it was a busy career, Jeff. And now there's nothing, you know, nothing like that going on.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as for me, because Steve Stewart, we used to talk, you know, if it wasn't for Steve, there wouldn't be a Buckeye Chuck, because Steve, well, I was messing with groundhogs for a long time there at the radio station. Joe Peters would go out with his gun and shoot him, too. And Steve Stewart said, ever you pay so much attention to this groundhog, I'm going to go to, what's his name? He was a veterinary.
Leidensteger.
No, it was... he was killed with... he drove out in the road in his lawnmower. Oh, he was the funniest guy when he spoke. People would fall off their chairs, they laughed so much.
Was he a representative?
Yeah. Right.
Or Dot McCloskey.
Dot, yeah. Yeah,
Who did I say? Did I say Leidensteger?
Yeah.
It was Dot McCloskey.
Yeah. And Doc, Steve Stewart went to Doc and said, you know, we should promote this groundhog. Oh, well, let's see. I've got a phone call. Let's see, Jeff. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks. You beat me to it. Doc McCloskey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you were quicker than I was this morning. So what's on the agenda for today's show?
The Leshefsky family.
Leshefsky family is going to be there. When are they going to play?
Where?
When?
Whenever they get here.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, 11 o'clock or so.
They're there, they're there. When they're not, they're gone.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
When they're not here, they're not all there.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. But, yeah, the Leshefsky family, Jeff, I look at them like a tremendous American family. I mean, there's a father who's from Poland originally that plays the accordion, and their mother doesn't sing or anything, but she's from Peru. And, I like that tablet. and the kids are all from, they go to St. Mary's School. Of course, might be in Harding by now. And they're so, you know, close-knit family, and they appear here and there doing their music. Leshefsky. It's kind of hard to pronounce the way it's spelled, Jeff. I think I was mispronouncing it for a couple of years. Leshefsky, yeah.
Talking about mispronunciations, there was a group at the Marion County Fair, and we used to promote some local groups. And the spelling of the group, I got to remember this. It was like... Balzone. What was pronounced bullseye.
Really?
But for 2 weeks, I kept saying that this group of the men is going to be Balls One. And nobody corrected me.
And happy holidays to you and your family.
We'll be right back. Oh, here we go again. It's not happy holidays. It's Merry Christmas.
That's okay for you, Charlie, but I like to cover all the holidays, so I say happy holidays.
You say happy holidays on Valentine's Day or Easter or St. Patrick's Day?
Well, no, I don't. What's the point?
Merry Christmas!
Happy holidays from WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again with Jeff Ruth. Okay, Jeff, let me get to the right microphone here. I have to count a 1, 2, 3, 4. Jeff, when the peanut push first started, there were two jewelers in Marion that gave prizes. Well, let's see, one's still John Walker. He just gave a real nice prize. And Jerry Davis. And I hope Jerry's gone. But one year I went in, Jerry would always call me and said, Charlie, I've got your prize ready. So I would go in, and I said, you know, I'm here to pick up the prize. And this one lady behind the counter said, he's going to give you this cheap thing. It was a ring carrier, you know, one of those glass things to put a ring on.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry and John Walker used to stand on the stage to give out their prizes. Yeah, oh my! But then there was only, and then Tri Rivers made the crowns.
Right, and they still do.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the peanut—that was something I would drive to Columbus to the Peanut House on North High Street and order or pick up, you know, several pounds of peanuts. And then I would go home and I'd roll each one individually in my fingers to make sure it wouldn't crush easy so that the pushers would have the best peanut in the world.
And boy, and if they had a bad one, they'd let you know.
Oh.
We had like a peanut patrol.
Really?
And people would have...
fresh peanuts.
And they were like salespeople or people from the station, but if you'd crack your peanut, I mean, you know, they'd raise their hand or it's like, and you'd put one right down in front of them. And most people just, they were there for fun.
But
there were a few people that would really take it seriously.
Really serious. I remember for the fun of it, a guy came down from Bucyrus. He passed away years ago. He worked for the Ohio Locomotive Crane Company. He built a miniature crane that he could crawl inside of and use the bucket to push the peanut. I should have brought in that album. I've got hundreds of pictures from the very first on through. Mm. But Gil Gomez was there every year, and then one year he even brought his fellow meteorologist, Jan Sales.
Mm-hmm.
And they would all be in the parade, too, and, it was just a big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad to see, though, that it still carries on. That pleases me to no end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and we'll see. And that last week, I always worried... that we wouldn't get enough people, because 50 was kind of the number that I kind of shuffled.
Yeah.
And we always seem to get real close, you know, a couple over, a couple under. It'll be interesting to see this year
what
we get.
Without the publicity that you'd normally get. Now, another thing I wanted to know, what is this Hubbly? Did you see the thing in the Star? The celebration downtown next Saturday? It's a WHO belation. Hubilation.
I did not see that. Uh-uh.
That's what it's called. I don't know where on earth they got that title, Hubilation.
Is it in conjunction with the peanut push?
With everything. I think the parade, okay. And I think.
Okay.
Maybe if somebody in the know could call us and tell us, what on earth does hubilation mean?
I did not see that in the paper.
Weird. Hubilation.
Yep, I can't help you with that.
And that same weekend, there are so many things going on, my. And in Bucyrus, they have a skating rink on the square. They spread the plastic out and fill it with water and freeze it. And people bring their ice skates and ice skate around the square.
Mm.
It's really, and then they have lighted candles in front of every store and a big Christmas parade, of course, and everything. And you can watch it on, if you type in Bucyrus webcam, there's a webcam on top of the Weaver Hotel, and it looks down on the square. You can see them ice skating. It looks just like a scene out of an old-time Christmas card.
Mm.
Really neat. And so that's going on the 7th, as well as everything here on the 7th, and like hubilation.
Yep. So, nope, I hadn't seen that article.
It's in the paper today, but not everybody gets a paper. Not even everybody that pays for it gets it. I pay $58.30 a month to get the paper, and it's mainly to read the obituaries.
Yeah, I was talking earlier with Scott that my parents used to get the Dispatch on Sunday in Mansfield. And they can't get enough, or they can't get a deliverer in Mansfield now, so they don't get the Dispatch anymore.
Isn't that something? Now, in our area, the Star is delivered by a guy in a blue pickup truck with no muffler. He probably isn't making enough delivering the paper to buy a new muffler.
Oh, no. Well, and I just subscribed to the Dispatch when I was working. Give me some ideas to, things to talk about or whatever. And then the last couple of months before I retired, it was there when I'd go in at like 5 or 5:15 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then the last 6 or 8 weeks, it wouldn't show up till 9:30, 10 o'clock. And by then it was pretty much too late. Yeah. So I kept the subscription through the time I was working, but once I retired. But I told Scott every couple of weeks I get a call from the Dispatch.
No kidding.
Well, I know if I want to renew my subscription and they have a special rate if I sign up for this, then they'll give me these many weeks free and so forth.
Whoever thought that a newspaper would cost $58 a month? Oh, my. I think, probably we'll live to see the end of all newspapers. It's bound to happen. They can't make a go of it now.
More and more, obviously, using the internet, but I'm one of those I just like to hang, hold the paper and read it at my will.
Yeah, here's a caller. Good morning, caller.
Hi, how you doing, Charlie?
Pretty good.
Okay, you're talking about the hubilation?
Hubilation, yes.
Right. Well, in yesterday's paper, on page 8B, they have a list of all the holiday events going on. And I was wondering what the hubilation was supposed to be, too, but it's supposed to be the Christmas parade. That starts in Greenwood.
The what
now? Into town.
The Christmas parade.
They mention everything else.
It's everything else.
But they never mention the peanut push, which Jeff and I found out from him earlier what it was going to be. Hubilation is supposed to mean, I do not know.
I'm trying to find out what the term hubilation means.
Yeah, well, that's what I've been figured. But on. They have all the holiday events on 8B.
8B,
Thursday paper.
Okay.
So if anybody knows what it is,
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff.
All right.
I didn't know you did impressions.
And so it goes... hubilation. Will somebody call and let us know what hubilation yeah. how they got that term.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen the article.
Yeah, hubilation, W-H-O, bilation. Yeah, hubilation. Oh, my goodness. But anyhow, the peanut push is Saturday at what time?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, yeah. Is it next Saturday, right?
A week from tomorrow.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's right.
December 7th, yeah.
A week from tomorrow.
Yeah, December 7th. So if somebody is listening to this in a repeat or something, which is December the 7th.
Okay.
So like if it's next Tuesday and they're listening to us and we talk about next Saturday, yeah. It's actually December 7th.
Okay, very good. The day of Pearl Harbor, too.
Mm-hmm.
And
That is, and I have gotten, everybody probably one time or another, where somebody will say, hey, it's happening this Saturday,
yeah.
or it's happening next Saturday. And not too long ago, I was supposed to be in a golf outing at the country club this summer, and had somebody on, and they were talking about, you know, coming up next Saturday. Right. Well, to me, next Saturday was like 9 days away.
Yes.
Not in 2 days. So the following week, I called to find out what time my tea time was. Well, that was last Saturday. Well, to me, last Saturday was this Saturday, it's always best if you put the date down next to the day or whatever.
And that same basis, I think this Black Friday has got everybody screwed up. I mean, some sort of say, it's Black Friday now. It's Black Friday tomorrow. Black Friday. And, you know, the real Black Friday is supposed to be, the Thanksgiving morning.
This morning, yeah.
Right.
Well, a lot of these car dealers are running, you know, Black Friday sales through December the 5th or something like that. That's not a Black Friday sale.
No, they've shot themselves in the foot.
Mm-hmm.
They've taken away the glitz and the glamour and the excitement of being there real early in the morning on they ought to call it Green Friday.
And a lot of it, of course, you know, Thanksgiving. And I feel so sorry for so many people that work in retail.
Yeah, there was one store in Marion they never shut down.
That have to be there at 2 in the afternoon or 4 in the afternoon or whatever. You know, whatever happened.
It's bad enough when you worked in radio.
Yeah. But, you know, just, you know, give people Thursday off. And if you want to start early on Friday, that's one thing, but don't start Thursday afternoon or Thursday night.
Maybe this is somebody that knows what jubilation means. Yes, caller, go ahead.
I was caught off guard. I thought most of the stores opened up at like 5 o'clock this morning, and I went out to Menards, was hoping to beat all
they were closed, weren't they?
Well, no, I was hoping to beat the crowds. But there was a crowd of 200 to 300 people waiting to get in at Menards. I figured they'd all be at Walmart or
Well, I thought Menards was closed on Thanksgiving. And Meijer stayed, they never closed.
Today. This morning.
Menards might have been closed yesterday, but they opened up this morning.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, okay,
so
yeah.
I thought the big deal was, hey, open up at 5 o'clock.
No, so it's all a bunch of jubilation.
Well, it's a bunch of hooey.
Well, they shot themselves in the foot by saying this is an early Black Friday, blah, 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 you know. They take away the excitement of the real Black Friday.
Well, I saw all those people. Now, these were people, they had snow fence up, that orange stuff.
Yeah.
And they had them all lined up to go inside.
Really?
Yep, had them all corralled. You had to go all the way to the east end.
Corralled like cattle.
To line up.
Yeah.
But that was the ones that you could see. The parking lot was really filling rapidly.
Wow.
I would have thought that Walmart and Meijer would have had the bigger sales and stuff, people not be there. So I was just going out to pick up a timer, a light switch for a light.
Good luck.
Yeah, so I just figured,
Well, you got 11% off, didn't you?
Oh, I didn't. I said goodbye.
I don't have
time to wait. They didn't open until 6, was the thing, and I was there at 5:25.
Yes.
Thinking that, geez, they've been open for 25 minutes, et cetera.
But by the time you send your...
Santa Claus, Kris Kringle, St. Nick.
Yes, there are a lot of ways to refer to Santa Claus.
Too many, if you ask me, Scott. With that many names, I am sure he has a lot of trouble boarding airplanes. Can you imagine an officer stopping Santa and asking him why his ID is reading Kris Kringle, which doesn't match his birth certificate, reading St. Nick? Oh, boy, I hope President Trump doesn't hear of this.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, the place for the holiday season.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again with Jeff Ruth. And Jeff is retired, and I'm not. I'm just tired. And getting worse. But Jeff, the ironic thing is, we're on the second floor, and I go to the, down below the heart failure clinic every week or two. But I still got my heart. It's still pumping.
Well, don't have an issue today because they're closed this morning.
I noticed that. Yeah, right. I can't get in. They said, call if you have any problems. I wonder who I'd get if I called. But, sorry, we're closed today. And if you're, well, anyhow. I still want somebody to call and say the definition of jubilation. It, you know, it's like a term for the whole Saturday, next Saturday. But I don't know. I wish I had brought the paper with me.
I wish you had too, because I could have read it.
Yeah, that's right. Isn't it something? What is it? Oh, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Oh, I heard you, but you couldn't hear me when you went to break?
Yes.
Yeah, so...
Well, that's right, because the break covered us up.
Yeah. You know where jubilation came from?
No.
It came from Dr. Seuss, Whoville.
Dr. Seuville?
The Grinch who stole Christmas.
Really?
Whoville, jubilation.
Are we supposed to know that?
Only if you read Dr. Seuss. And are a Dr. Seuss aficionado.
All I know is the Cat in the Hat.
Yeah, well, hey, you're going to have to start going to the convention just like the Star Trekkers.
I remember Whoville, but I didn't know that jubilation was one of the...
What connection does that have with the Marian celebration of Christmas?
Well, you said where did jubilation come from?
Yeah, but, okay, jubilation came from Dr. Seuss. No, from the Grinch that stole Christmas.
Well, him too.
Him too?
Are you dipping into that moonshine?
I might as well be.
Too bad Jeff couldn't have been there, but maybe he can be there for the show before Christmas.
Our own jubilation?
Yeah.
Very good.
Inauguration.
Yeah. Inauguration. That's good. That's a good term, inauguration.
Yeah, it's better than being annihilated. I've been inaugurated.
Yeah. Well, that's a term I made up the other day, broccoloni.
Broccoloni.
Broccoloni, yeah. That's a mixture of broccoli and bologna on a sandwich.
You know, just think of it, how much healthier that would be, you know, with the broccoli in there instead of just the bologna.
Yeah. Well, I know that's a lot of bologna, but...
Oh, well.
Yeah, okay.
Well, have a big jubilation.
Yeah, okay. All right, thank you.
Have a good show.
So it's from The Grinch That Stole Christmas.
All right, that'll work for me.
Yeah, I'll believe it, yeah. Oh, I don't want to make fun of it, or do I? I don't know. It's another day, Jeff. So let's see what else is going on. Oh, like I say, I used to have just a king and a queen, and of course, like you say, Tri River still makes their crowns. The very first king and queen were from Whirlpool. I can't remember their names, but I got their pictures. But
did you ever? Now the king at least when I've been involved with the peanut bush, the king has always raised more money than the queen. Did you ever have an instance where the queen would raise more money?
No, I don't believe, but it was like a separate contest. Whoever the female was that raised the most money was the queen.
Right, but did the queen ever raise more money than the king?
I don't believe.
Okay, because I can't recall.
Whirlpool was, do you know what they used to do at Whirlpool, Jeff? They are not allowed to do it nowadays. They auctioned off bicycles, fifths of whiskey, or you name it. And they'd auctioned off to raise money for the peanut push for their contestants.
Mm.
Oh, that was, but in later years, the company said, no, we don't want that going on, you know, in the factory. But they did, yeah. A lot of fifths of whiskey were auctioned off. And bicycle, oh, my land. I wonder if anyone's listening that remembers all that. But, yeah, it's been quite an era. And Tecumseh, it was going strong during the first part. And that manager, Tecumseh, came over and said, Evers, you know, people raising money for the Christmas peanut push has held this company together. We're all, you know, we're all working together to raise enough money to get our candidate in.
Good.
And then after that, it kind of fell apart.
Hmm.
Yeah. That was something. But what a, you know, what a contest, pushing a peanut with your nose across the street.
Yeah, but I wish that one of the Columbus stations would come up and do something.
Yeah.
Or like Dom Tiberi come up, you know, like maybe on a Friday or whatever, and we could, you know, the two of us could push a peanut, down the street, but it just, we were never able to work anything out.
Isn't that funny? While that has never developed that way, but... pushing a peanut across a regular street with your nose is quite an accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can remember, you know, the guy that won every year. What was his name? Ferguson? It was Jim Ferguson's son, I thought. But his nose would bleed terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he scraped it up terrible.
Yeah. You know, you usually get one or two a year that they'll split their nose open or crack a lip or something. Yeah,
come down too hard on that peanut.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
yeah. But like I say, the original peanuts came from Columbus, from Planters Peanut Company in Columbus, and I would test them for their durability. Then later years, Mrs. Rick Fogel.
Oh, I was going to say Winona Fogel.
Yeah,
She's the one. She would always call every year, and she'd make sure that, because you know that's one of the things. You know, when you're going to bed Friday night and you're thinking about all the things that could go wrong, it's like, what happens if we don't have any peanuts tomorrow? But she was always able to bring us the peanuts that week.
That's good. Yeah, and you know some peanuts just kind of go to pot. Mm-hmm. When you put any pressure on them, so you got to make sure you got good peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my, yeah. But I've got pictures of me pulling Gil Gomez in a bathtub across 4.5 miles. Ah, and that bathtub weighed 400 pounds, and the janitor of Grand Prairie Elementary School fixed it up. I needed a bathtub, so I advertised on the air. I said, I need a bathtub. The lady called and said, you got mine. And 400 pounds.
Mm.
Oh, hey, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, you guys are talking about maybe getting Dom Tiberi down there. I think I might know a way you can get him down there. At least get the peanut push mentioned on Channel 10.
And how's that?
Dom does a thing on Friday. He says it's stuff that Dom won't do.
Oh, perfect.
And he, you know, he talks about the event or whatever it is, and it's then he says that's something Dom won't do.
Huh.
It's probably this year probably wouldn't have enough time to work it out because, of course, the Ohio State's in Michigan tomorrow, and then you got the Big Ten Championship next week. But that might be something next year to look into.
Something you guys keep in mind.
Okay.
That would be the start of the next step up on the peanut push.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that sounds great. And once that begins, then the others join in, and it could be tremendous.
Yeah, we'll see if we can maybe work something out.
And I remember the very first year too. I had to ask the mayor, "Can you shut down the street while we have the peanut push? What's that?" But the mayor Kellogg used to push the peanut.
Oh yeah, Scott Schertzer's done it every year, and Jack Kellogg did it every year.
Yeah, it was great, boy. Well, it's 10:55. The Leshefsky family will be in, around 11:15, I think. And will entertain us with some good polka music, good Christmas music, and things like that. And, Jeff, have you noticed Scott rearranged all this stuff in here to make it look like Christmas?
Still a lot of boxes out, though.
And that big Christmas tree. Isn't that amazing?
I like the Christmas tree.
Yeah, it's got bulbs on it. It's all lit up.
Did you hear when we played Santa last hour?
Oh, I heard that, yeah.
Did you? Okay, yeah. That's the Santa right here.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be darned. That's pretty good. Yeah. Boy. There's been so much water under a lot of bridges, Jeff, between us and the radio station, and of course we haven't even talked about my 10 years at WDIF. I did 2 trips to Panama on military planes as a promotion, to publicity for the 179th National Guard unit. And while I was down there, I saw this strange looking aircraft on the runway, and I asked one of the guys, says, "What's in that ugly looking airplane?" And they said, "Rocket parts." And here, that was a junior size of what landed in Mansfield a couple of days ago.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's the same type of thing. They call them a guppy or a beluga whale.
Mm-hmm.
They look just like it. But there were thousands of people, I guess, that showed up when it landed.
I was reading the Mansfield paper yesterday when I was over there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Boy, that was something from Mansfield Lama Airport. Yeah. And they downloaded it from the plane and took it on one of those trucks with about 40-some wheels. And trucked it north to Sandusky and had to take down power lines and remove telephone poles. And I guess they'd worked for weeks preparing for it. And finally they went through Milan, which was something else, getting a truck that size through Milan, Ohio, which is just south of Sandusky. But they did it. That was really a neat thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how much one of those planes weigh, but it must be quite a bit, especially when it's loaded.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But Sandusky plays a rather large role in NASA, in research and everything. In fact, I found out my daughter, Kathy, works with NASA. The company she works for is building some things for space travel. And kind of really interesting. Yeah. And then we have, out at the Huber Museum, we have the one tread from the space crawler. And it weighs 1 ton. And Terry and I called us this morning. We were down in Newark, Ohio, to see the display that NASA had down there because it was coming to Marion. And I told the guy, I said, Marion made their space crawler. Well, I didn't know that. I thought everybody I thought knew that. And he said, "Well, hey, if you guys would like the loan of one of the treads for the space crawler, we'll make that happen." And they did. It sits now at the Huber Museum. They can have it for 3 or 4 years or whatever on display. So Marion's had a big part in NASA. And I don't know all kind of research they do in Sandusky, but that's a big NASA facility there.
Mm.
Wow. I don't, like I say, I don't know exactly what they do, but they do it. Hey, Jeff, we're coming up on a break here. My goodness. When we come back, do you have to leave?
I'm leaving, yes.
Really?
Yep, I was doing 8 to 11 today.
Okay, are you coming back soon so we can do some more of this? I hope.
I suppose I could.
Oh, yeah. You better.
If Scott asked me, I could come back.
Yeah, okay. That's good because we're just touched the touched everything. There's a lot more we could talk about.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP Marion, Ohio, the place for holiday fun. For legendary comedian Kay Ballard.
What do you like about this time of
Christmas? I wish Christmas. I get sad because I think of my family. I think about when I was younger, when, you know, everybody hung up the stocking, and I hung up one day my silk stocking for my father to fill. And he screamed with laughter because he had a great sense of humor, too. It just brings back the family, doesn't it? Christmas.
Last remaining star of The Honeymooners, Trixie, Joyce Randolph.
Well, when I was a very little girl, it was the Great Depression. And, you know, things weren't too exciting then, and, you know, there wasn't much money, but always had a nice, quiet Christmas. I was an only child, so it was quiet. And many years later, when I married my husband, he was from Rochester, New York, and we would go up there because his mother and all his relatives and all the kids, they threw a great party, and it was very nice. I wasn't used to all of that, but it was fun to go there. And my son grew up going to Rochester for Christmas, and he loved it.
The oldest working actor in Hollywood, 101-year-old Norman Lloyd.
I'm going to a dear friend's, a very dear friend, Dean Hargrove, for Christmas dinner. And I guess we'll exchange presents. I know what I have to get him. It's booze.
Now, Norman...
Well, that's easily solved.
Now,
now, what I'm going to do about my great-grandchildren and grandchildren and my son, that's always something that is difficult to resolve. So I end by giving them cash.
The entire staff and crew at WWGH Radio wishes you and yours a very happy holiday season.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak or walk.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from The Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. This is Scott Spears, high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. If you see news in Marion, please email us at scott@wwgh1071.com and keep an eye out for the WWGH News Chopper flying high overhead. In the spirit of the holiday season, WWGH Radio will play one classic Christmas